going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I don't know how we could, and this could be a huge home run, by the way. You want to play it forward for Aaron Judge. Of course, we'll talk about yesterday with Judge hit a home run. And somehow, even though it's a minor league ballpark, and that's a whole different story, that you got major league teams playing in minor league ballparks, somehow, even with the replay that we all saw, Aaron Judge hit a mammoth home run, goes into the trees in fair territory. If we saw the replay, that means they, the umps, saw the replay. The powers that be in the control center, they saw the replay. How do they not deem that a home run? That is just total bullcrap. Not to mention that replay in general, whether you go back to last week with the Mets getting screwed with a call in Minnesota because they didn't have any challenges. If we're going to have replay, and by the way, I've hated replay since its inception, and this is exactly why. I remember doing overnight shows railing about it, saying I want less replay. And people say, oh, well, you don't want the calls to get right? No, I'd love the calls to get right. Problem is, the more replay you put in, the more calls are getting wrong anyway. They're still getting wrong. Something as basic as Aaron Judge hitting a home run can get overturned? I mean, that is just not good for the competition of the sport. And as I was saying before, potentially for a record here. Who's to say that Aaron Judge doesn't end up with 70-plus home runs or 63 home runs, whatever it may be? He's going to have that home run wiped off the board. That's a home run. He should have 8 home runs. It's ridiculous. Playing a Major League Baseball game in minor league ballparks, and you got umpires that can't tell what a home run is or not? Even after the replay showed it clearly, what is the excuse for that? If you take away the legitimacy of the sport and what's going on, you have nothing. Aaron Judge in a competitive game against the Rays in the major leagues hit a home run, and it was called a foul ball even after replay. Think about how bad that is. Does that give you confidence moving forward that these knuckleheads who are making the decisions, whether it's the umps on the field, and by the way, I feel like people do make umps out to be the bad guys far too often, but still, we've seen their deficiencies. But even worse, the replay system. When you go look at the replay, how do you have confidence that these calls are going to be gotten right in the biggest of spots? You can't. You can't have confidence. I mean, that is despicable. If I were Aaron Boone, I would have got suspended for a month arguing about that. That's ridiculous. Not to mention the balls and strike stuff, which you know is leading us to robo-umps, and they're going to have the challenge system and all that stuff's going to be in place. The sport is changing here, but when you have, and there are so many little things that you could pick apart with Major League Baseball and the replay system and all that goes into it. But when you have as clear as day on replay, because I get it in real time, you know, you listen to all the different calls and nobody knew what happened. Well, the foul poles aren't big in the minor league stadium, so that's that. Nobody really knew. Although, if you're an umpire, I'm assuming you see that ball and you see where it goes, you have an idea. Oh, and by the way, if Judge hit it, chances are it is a home run. But yet they call a foul and somehow don't overturn it after a clear replay. So my question would be, if I'm going up to the hierarchy or Rob Manfred, Rob, look, here's the evidence that I have. If I'm Aaron Boone or Brian Cashman or Judge or the Yankees or whoever's doing this, here's the replay. Explain to me how all your guys that you have in place at the replay center or the umpires on the field, how is it possible that you can watch this, what we're watching together, right? You see the ball? There it goes. Look, there's a tree. There's the foul pole. There the ball goes. How can you see this and say that that is a foul ball? That does not make any sense, nor does it give me confidence moving forward. The other aspect of yesterday's Yankee game, by the way, it's nice that the Mets and Yankees are off to a hot start, isn't it? The other aspect of yesterday's Yankee game was the official scorers issue. Now, the reason why I'm not going nuts about this is because it was the right call eventually. But again, you're watching the game. Remember, that's what we're trying to do. Watch level competition. No biasness, no, you know, on the take type nonsense. Although you watch that Yankee game, I don't know how anybody could think that maybe the Rays, you know, it didn't have an unfair advantage there. Major League Baseball trying to make things a little more competitive because the Yankees kicking their teeth in all weekend. How can you argue otherwise? Something's going on. I saw the replay. We all saw it. It was a home run. No, it's the call's upheld. It's foul ball. And then you're sitting there as a Yankee fan getting set to watch Max Fried work on a no-hitter into the eighth inning. Fried, who's been worth every single penny for the Yankees. Again, he's the one guy I told you, I don't invest big in starting pitching anymore. That wouldn't be my philosophy. But if I were going to invest in a big-time pitcher, Max Fried would be the one. He looks like he's worth every penny so far. And he's out there about to work on a no-hitter, only to be told or find out, and he didn't even know until after the fact, that, oh no, by the way, there's a hit on the board from two innings ago because the official scorer decided to change his mind. I wonder how that happened. I'm not saying you can't change your mind as an official scorer because that does happen quite a bit. Usually it happens in fewer than two or three innings. Oh, and by the way, just doesn't, you know, take a no-hitter off the board. It was clear as day. I don't care what anybody says. It was as clear as day that move was made to eliminate the threat of a potential no-hitter against the Rays. It had to be. All of a sudden, they just figured out what they want. The same replay that wasn't working for Judge's home run was now all of a sudden working for the official score. I mean, did they have replay that works or not? If you can watch on replay up until the eighth inning, the Paul Goldschmidt error or whatever that turned into a hit, then you probably should have been able to tell that Aaron Judge hit a home run. That is a very, even in a win, a very frustrating day for Yankees fans watching that game where they had two things taken away from them that should have been. The home run for Judge should have been home run number 8 and just another, you know, whatever, a home run. Regardless of who hit it, it was clear as day a home run. You can't take that off the board. It's not right. And then the idea of watching a pitcher go out there and try to throw a no-hitter, which again, wiped off the board. Now, it doesn't totally overshadow what was another tremendous weekend for the Yankees, as they are clearly playing their best baseball, head to Cleveland now to take on the Guardians. They are rolling right now. Yankees playing some good defense, flashing leather, and even when they're not playing great defense, you know, Cabrera making some bad throws, whatever it may be, they're making up for that. You're getting Bellinger now in the act, even Volpe a little bit in the act. A good performance yesterday for the Yankees. Overall, a great series in their own home ballpark in Tampa against the Rays. But still, I mean, how do you not get frustrated as a baseball fan, not just even from a Yankee fan perspective, in general, and lose hope for the sport where it seems things are not on the level there? I don't know how else you could say it. BT and Sal on the fan. BT is off. 888-808-1019. So you got me today going till 2 o'clock. We'll get to the Mets in a little bit and the huge series tonight out at Citi Field. Mets continue to play tremendous baseball to start this year. Knicks with a big playoff win in Game 1. We'll get into that. You got the draft coming up Thursday. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. But I wanted to start today venting about what I thought was just ridiculous display. I'm not even going to pick on the umps. This is more on Major League Baseball that they would allow that to happen. Not to mention that you got two baseball teams that play in the major leagues playing in minor league ballparks. I mean, baseball's got to get a grip here. Brandon is calling from Lincoln Park. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, Si. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Don't you just think that the umpire should wear a buzzer for balls or strikes? I mean, I get you need them there for plays at the plate, stuff like that, but the strike zone is there, and they still get calls wrong, you know, more times than not.
Well, they're eventually going to have the replay system in place there, and batters can challenge it, and I'm just going to have help from, you know, the computers there. But my issue, Brandon, okay, let's say you put that in place, right? Let's say you get rid of that. The umpires don't even make the call. It's all digitalized. How do you excuse what happened yesterday? A guy hit a home run in the major leagues. We all saw the replay. And you could, by the way, it's not just about Judge. Like I said, you could go back to last week with the play in the Met game where the Mets clearly had an out on the board. And it was called safe, and they couldn't challenge it because they were out of challenges. You're either going to have replay or you're not. So anyway, let's say that we do come to your conclusion, Brandon, and say these umps aren't any good. Let's have robo-umps. Then how do you fix what happened yesterday?
No, I mean, like I said, that just can't happen. But the strike zone, when they have the box up, you know, it should almost be like they just wear a buzzer. You know what I'm saying? Just strike or ball. That way, that's out of the picture to get wrong.
Yeah, I know, but my point is, and thank you for the call, Brandon, that they're still going to have other stuff. There's always going to be something. I'm telling you legitimately, I remember doing an overnight show when I was filling in. This is probably over 10 years ago. And it could be even longer than that. When Galarraga threw that perfect game, that was not a perfect game because Jim Joyce made a bad call. And I remember then saying, no, I'm not for replay. We got to get the umps to be better and make the call right. But remember what happened at that particular point. Joyce cost Galarraga of a perfect game. I mean, that was ridiculous. Although that moment became famous and maybe even more famous that if he did throw a regular, a normal perfect game. Point is, I was not for replay because there's always going to be something. Now, this is going back a long time ago. But if you fast forward to 2025 to yesterday, I don't care what ballpark it's being played in. We saw the replay. We saw the review. We all saw it. You saw the ball in fair territory go over the wall into the trees on the correct side of the fair pole, the right side of the fair pole or foul pole, whatever, the right side of that. And yet still they came to the conclusion that the call cannot be overturned. I'm with Aaron Boone. And then you had the bad call on Aaron Judge follow that, which is what eventually got Boone tossed, but you know it was more about the home run. It went from being a home run number 8 to Aaron Judge, who's the best player in the world, to being a strikeout. That's just not right. He didn't do anything wrong. The guy hit a home run and he ended up striking out. At the very least, it should have been a walk. And even that wouldn't have been right. So if that can happen, and by the way, this is just a game that we happen to be focusing on. You don't think that this happens across Major League Baseball on a somewhat consistent basis? I referenced the Met game that it happened with last week. This is a big problem here. But something as egregious as that home run? I mean, you got to be kidding me. Charles is in Allenhurst, New Jersey. What's up, Charles?
What's up, Sal? Love hearing you do the solo show. Reminds me of the overnight.
Thanks, Charles. What's up?
Yeah. So, I'm like you, I'm a Met fan. I was obviously watching the Met game yesterday, but I got a text from one of my friends saying, dude, the most whacked out thing just happened in the Yankee game. You got to check it out. So I flipped the channel, and then they were showing the replays of it, and I'm like, oh, dude, like we're texting back and forth. I'm like, oh, it's fine. They're just going to overturn it. They're going to clearly see this on replay as all of us are sitting at home and everyone in the booth, everyone talking about it. They'll overturn it, right? No doubt about it. When I tell you, when these guys... And I'm a Met fan, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. When they came out and said it's a foul ball, when it was the most fair ball, clearest home run I've ever seen, I was like, this is the most ridiculous thing. How do these guys, when everyone can see it from home from their TV, that have 70 screens around them in a replay center, still manage to mess up the calls all the time? It's ridiculous.
I don't know, and I think you bring up an excellent point, Charles, and thank you for the call. And your storytelling of that was perfect because you clearly were not alone. All of us baseball fans who were sitting there on Easter Sunday watching these games, that's how it happens. You're either watching it live and you see it, or you hear about it, you're watching the Mets and you go back. And the reason why I wanted to start the show with it is because it's not exclusive to Yankee fans. It may feel like it is, but it's not. What happens if that were Pete Alonso or Juan Soto or Francisco Lindor, whatever, you name it. Or somebody else. You root for the Red Sox, Rafael Devers. What happens if that's your guy? How would you feel? That it cannot happen. But it did in a major league game. And the game moved on. It can't happen. To me, it questions the integrity of the sport. Without integrity in sport, you can't watch it. When there's no integrity, whether it's the refs in basketball, whether it's the umpires in baseball, the replay system, if you feel like the players themselves, if you feel like not playing hard, guys resting, if you feel like the integrity of the sport is compromised, then we don't have sports. And yesterday's Yankee game, I don't know how you can't feel like the integrity was compromised to a certain extent when you watch that replay and clearly see it was a home run, only to have it remain off the board and then throw in the official score on top of it where you're trying to play around with a no-hitter. The integrity of the sport's coming into question. Can't happen. Eric is in Rivervale, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
Tell. How are you doing, brother?
Good, Eric. How are you?
Good, man. Love that you're starting with this because I feel like it just gets downplayed. That's as if it's not a big deal and, it's a game that doesn't matter, et cetera, et cetera. But it is a big deal, and I was equally as frustrated. You brought it up. Like, I'm watching this on my television at home. Like, I can clearly see that it's a fair ball. So the first question that I have is, do these guys have a different view than I'm seeing? Because clearly this is a home run. And now I'm hearing about, like, the fact that they're playing in a minor league ballpark and the foul poles are shorter or whatever. So if you add to it that they're also calling to attention the fact that two major league baseball teams, the Yankees included, are playing in a minor league ballpark. Like, this makes major league baseball look like a clown show. And we all know that this replay is a joke. It doesn't work. And then Aaron Judge has to deal with getting rung up on top of it. Yeah, it was like the whole thing was just such a mess.
Awful. Awful, Eric. Excellent call. Thank you for that call. I thought about this on Friday after watching the Yanks Thursday night. And then the Mets, obviously, in their prior series in Sacramento against the A's. And I'm like, I brought this up at SNY as we were going to do the Baseball Night New York show. And I'm like, hey, maybe we should do something on major league ballparks here or minor league ballparks in the major leagues. Like, this is just, it's ridiculous. What are we doing? It's Major League Baseball. And you get, now I know the Rays had unique circumstance with their roof getting blown off, but obviously the Rays don't have a ton of money anyway. And people are talking about moving them forever. They can't get a ballpark built down there. So that's a different circumstance. We know about the A's and where they were playing and them moving. This is Major League Baseball. Somebody's got to step in and do something about it. But even if you just separate yourself from that fact for a second, which is ridiculous in itself, Major League Baseball teams, multiple, playing in minor league ballparks, the idea that you could have replay in force and think that it's a good thing and still not get calls 100% correct every time is absurd. But a call like that on a home run where it doesn't need to be challenged, where a home run should be, if you don't know about it, you go to the replay and find out. Right? It's the biggest play the sport could have, a home run. And then they show the replay. They don't have a different replay than you. If anything, they should have more replays than we have. There's a big problem if Yes is showing us the replay, but not the people that need to make that decision. I'll give baseball the benefit of the doubt and say that they at least saw the same replay we did. I just don't know how then they come to the conclusion that it wasn't a home run. Now, I don't know if you know this about me, but I have a problem sometimes letting things go. And if I'm Aaron Boone or Aaron Judge, it would take me a while to get over this. I'd be like, dude, I hit a home run. I should have 8 on the board. Write this wrong. This is bullcrap. We saw the replay. I hit a home run. And instead it goes on my record as a strikeout. Now, in the grand scheme of things, is it a big deal? No, but it could be. What happens if you fast forward and we get to late September and Aaron Judge is sitting on 72 home runs or whatever it may be? Whatever home run record you deem real. Judge's own record of 62, Barry Bonds, or even just from Judge has 69 homers and look at hit 70. And he ends with 69. And could have been 70 because of that. There's always, baseball now, as it pertains to Judge, assuming he continues to do what he's doing and is going to have those type of totals, you're not going to sit there and think about it to yourself, well, you know what, he should have another home run. I will. Because replay couldn't figure it out, a replay that we all saw, that the ball was a home run, it's not right. Even in a game where the Yankees win, you're trying to enjoy that. And they have multiple aspects of it that questions the integrity of the game. And don't think that just because you're a Mets fan, it doesn't pertain to you. Because you know, it did happen last week anyway, where the Mets got screwed over by a bad call. You know it's a matter of time before it happens to you.
Pete Alonso was about to be run out of town by Mets fans. The view towards Alonso, especially after the miscue he had a few innings earlier, where he dropped a pop-up, the lack of big hits all season long. Like,
talking again, about last year.
I'm talking about last year, but right. Pete Alonso was about to be run out of town as a former Met. Devin Williams was having an electric season and was about to advance the Brewers into the NLDS. Obviously, Pete hits the home run, Mets win, Brewers lose. Okay, fine. Think about what's happened to both of those guys since.
I know it.
Pete Alonso's playing like an MVP, and Devin Williams has just not been the same guy. Doesn't mean he's always not going to be the same guy, but he hasn't been the same.
No, he hasn't. It's not like he's terrible. He's good. He just doesn't feel dominant.
And if we're going to look to the Pete Alonso moment, I don't see the connection other than the coincidence of Pete Alonso having a great year right now and Devin Williams having a bad year. And I have to chalk that up to coincidence.
Maybe
now,
it is.
I don't believe in coincidence,
right?
But I have to chalk it up to coincidence.
Maybe for now it is. If we're sitting here 6 months from now and Devin Williams put together a horrible season and Pete Alonso won the MVP, it's a little bit of a different discussion. There's something else, though, that happened over the weekend that some Yankee fans are pissed about that they have no right to be pissed about. But there's one other thing they should be pissed about, and that's the fact in the 10th inning after Devin Williams gets the big double play, you got a chance on Saturday with first and third, nobody out, and no one does anything. But let's get to the thing that you guys need to pipe down about. The Max Fried blown no-hitter. Guys, we all watched the game. We all saw the game. Chandler Simpson is this young man the Tampa Bay Rays recently called up. He's one of the fastest guys in baseball. In fact, on Friday, off air, I didn't even waste your time on air, I made a comment about this guy, Two Tiki Barber.
That's right.
I said, oh, you see who the Rays called up? This guy had 110 stolen bases in 103 games.
Mm-hmm.
And Tiki's like, that's not real. I said, no, it's real. This guy's really fast.
That's my kind of guy, too, because that's the only thing I could do.
All right. Chandler Simpson hits a ground ball towards first base. A tricky play, a ball that had a weird hop. And Paul Goldschmidt, who I love dearly, didn't make the clean play.
Yes.
Even if he makes the clean play, it is clear as day that Chandler Simpson is going to beat it out, and it's going to be a base hit.
Yes.
The problem
is... I agree
with
this, by the way.
Thank you. So let's just start right there.
So I'm not angry at all about this, because, first of all, Goldschmidt, it's a tricky play, as you mentioned, but even if he had fielded it perfectly cleanly, there's no way he's getting that out.
No way.
He's not getting there.
Right.
And Max Fried is 5 feet behind him.
So
there's no chance that that's happened.
Now, let me tell you, I don't want to brag, but I score games a lot, right?
Yes.
Big scoring geek. So I'm all up in on the official scoring stuff.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were actually scoring it, and you scored it a hit immediately.
No, I've got my own systems with that, which I'll get to. But you just phrased it as no chance they get him at first base. That means it's a hit.
Yes.
That means the disgrace that we witnessed yesterday was not the official score changing the decision. It was actually making you guys believe Max Fried had a legitimate no-hitter. And before you say a freaking word, because I am going to attack before you attack me, there is a big difference between an umpire getting a call wrong and an official scorer screwing something up that's obvious. There's a difference, because an umpire is just paid to get the call right or wrong, and sometimes they get it wrong. An official score could change everything. They could change a guy's ERA. All of a sudden, one error makes a game you gave up five runs in to where none of them are earned. That play yesterday was a base hit, and it's not my fault that Sean Morash and his dad are sitting there by the pool thinking it's a no-hitter. It was a Fugazi no-hit bid. Because it was a hit.
I mean, first of all,
it was a hit.
It's April 21st. The pool's not open yet. That's number one.
You should have opened it. It was beautiful.
Number two, Evan, you cannot say definitively, if you watch the replay with the split screen, Max Fried, immediately when he sees that ball chopped, is not busting it and completely stops busting it to first base. If Paul Goldschmidt fields that cleanly, how do you know that Max Fried is not going to slow up?
No.
Because all we know is what we saw, because it was already butchered. Tiki, I've come back and rewatched this 40 times.
I know, but Max Fried is not winning that foot race. But I'm just telling you, he's not. Once, what's his name, the kid?
Chandler Simpson.
Once Chandler Simpson is halfway down, it's over. It's over.
I want to make this clear. I don't think it's obvious that Max Fried 100% beats him out, but I also don't think it's obvious.
Just because he did it earlier in the game doesn't mean he's doing it against Simpson.
I get it, but he literally slows up. It doesn't even basically attempt to get there hustling. If that ball's field cleanly and Max Fried is on his giddy up and the mentality's changed, you can't tell me without a shadow of a doubt.
I can.
Definitely. No, you can't.
I can, because here's the difference.
You should never answer jury duty again.
What?
Because that is not guilty beyond beyond a doubt.
Here's the difference. And this is one of those days where I
lost that one, Sean.
I did too. It makes sense. I'll explain it off air.
Okay, perfect.
This is one of those days where I'm going to say into a microphone with a smile on my face, I am damn proud I'm a geek. I'm damn proud that I score every game. I'm damn proud that I take these errors and hits personal, because I do.
Heck yeah.
I'm a loser.
And in this case, Sean, you're fighting above your weight class.
No.
You all are. No, you all are.
I'm not.
A hit.
No.
And the fact, if that guy
he
threw a no hit
in the game, he Sean, beat him to the bag early in the game.
Sean, if Max Fried threw a no hitter, and then that guy in Tampa never changed the call, and he never gave up the leadoff hit to Mangum to start the eighth inning, that would have been a disgraceful no-hitter.
Because
it wasn't a no-hitter.
That was a hit.
And by the way, I'll take it up a notch. Oswaldo Cabrera's first error, that should have been a hit too.
Oh, stop it.
The guy, I don't know about that one.
Paul Goldschmidt's a cold glove first baseman. He's expected to make that play cleanly. And above all of that, Evan, you want to give me nerdy scoring stuff, all of this? It shouldn't take a whole damn inning to overturn it. It should take 3 seconds. If you want to file that as a hit immediately, and within 90 seconds you look at it more and go, you know what, it's an error. The fact that it took that long as a no-hitter's going away is an absolute disgrace.
I don't know the process behind turning errors into hits. I don't know what that process is
I
like.
I do.
I don't know where it goes. I don't know who's making the decision. But I wasn't bothered by it because I actually thought it was a hit.
Well, why don't you guys ask Uncle Evan? Say, hey, Uncle Evan, what's the process? Because you know why
What's the process?
Thank you, Tiki, for asking. Let me tell you something right now. This is where we're going to have common ground. Nothing pisses me off more than when these holier-than-thou official scorers change a decision. You know why it pisses me off?
Go ahead.
Because I write things down in pen. And I don't like to use whiteout when it's not my fault. Okay? I didn't screw up. I didn't write something in the wrong box. You guys screwed up. So let me just state for the record that if I could change something in Major League Baseball, yeah, you're damn right, Geek Evan would change, that you whatever you decide is what you decide. Okay, I agree with you. Whatever that official score decides in the moment, no protesting, no let me think about it, it is what it is. So there's our common ground. But you know what the official rules are, Sean? Or do you not know? You just want to scream into a microphone like Michael Kay.
You know what?
Which one? And Kay should know better, because I blame him, and I blame Susan, too.
Evan?
I blame the Yankee broadcast for this whole mess, and I'll explain why.
Evan,
and I love them. I do. I love Michael. I love I love all of them, but I'm going to call them out when they're wrong. Continue.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't, and I don't think it really matters, because either way, it should be more timely and efficient than it was.
The official scorer can change a judgment call for up to 24 hours after a game ends or is suspended.
Absurd. Mm.
After the 24-hour window, a change requires an appeal to the MLB league president. A player or team can also request a review by the executive vice president of baseball operations, and that needs to be done within 72 hours of the game ending. Now, let me tell you a story, because this is another thing that pisses me off. Do you guys happen to remember, it was a long time ago, the Mets played the Rays in Tampa, very similar to this, and R.A. Dickey pitched a one-hitter.
No, but go ahead, tell us.
R.A. Dickey pitched a one-hitter, and the one hit he gave up was a ground ball to David Wright early in the game. The Mets, and this really annoyed me, filed a protest after the game ended saying that should be an error. They wanted a retroactive no-hitter. That would have been the biggest bunch of horse crap I've ever seen.
And it got denied, obviously.
Of course it got that. Can you imagine? You know, you guys playfully, because I assume it's playful, like to say Johan didn't pitch a no-hitter? That would have been the most fugazi no-hitter ever if they retroactively said...
On appeal.
On appeal.
Right.
And it was the Mets doing the appeal, and they were trying to get an error on the captain of the team. The whole thing drove me nuts. I agree, that's BS.
So shouldn't you feel this way about this? I mean, think about this.
I'll tell you why.
The official scorer, whatever you think, overly inserted himself into a spot where you can't definitively say it was a hit, and he took away a moment. Look, he took away a moment.
A fake moment.
It wasn't
but it didn't last. That's the problem. This is why also I'm not upset about
because
it.
Because you get the hit after?
Yes.
It's so ironic. He gives up the hit after. He immediately finds out, coming out of the dugout, by the way, it's not a no-hitter anymore. You're deflated. Your adrenaline's deflated. You give it up. The timing of that. Now you want to tell me he gives up the hit and then we find out? Sure.
Here's why that way it goes isn't as bad. Because you need to have the pressure of a no-hitter. If you think you're pitching a one-hitter, you complete the one-hitter, and then after the fact, they're like, oh, by the way, it was a no-hitter, you never dealt with the pressure of pitching a no-hitter. So I'd rather, if there's ever going to be a change, it goes the way it went yesterday, where you think you're pitching a no-hitter, but the reality is it's really a one-hitter. Because then at least the pressure is still there.
Yeah.
You're taking away the pressure of a no-hitter if it goes the other way, which is a part of why that whole appeal with R.A. Dickey was disgraceful.
Right. So if you think you have a no-hitter, it means you're more, there's more pressure for you? There's more intensity for you?
Yes.
There's less people talking to you or not at all because they won't talk to you when you have a no-hitter? I think you relax when you realize it's not a no-hitter, right?
That's my point.
Yeah, so
that's why you're not facing the pressures of pitching a no-hitter.
Is relaxing better or worse?
Oh, it's probably better. It probably makes your job a little bit easier because you're not thinking about the history that's on the line. But that's not the way it went. It went the other way. And I understand why you're disappointed, Sean. I do. I respect that. I understand why any Yankee fan who's spending their Sunday afternoon on Easter watching this game thinking there's a no-hitter is disappointed. I get being disappointed, but you're still wrong.
Let's get to the Yankee situation yesterday. They won 4-0. But you know the situation here with the near no-hitter, if you will. This is the play in question at the time.
And a pitch. Breaking ball hit to the right side. We're going to do it again off of Pauly's glove. Fried was over there. He was doing his job. And it rolled up Paul's glove. And Simpson is aboard.
Now, that was ruled an error at the time, though I think Michael Kay on TV was pretty clear, thinking it probably should have been ruled a hit. But they ruled it an error. And then a few innings later, we would then find out.
Well, we've got a new development here. And what we thought was a no-hitter is now not a no-hitter.
How do you change an error call to a hit 3 innings later? I don't understand it. Goldschmidt's error is now a hit. So there's one hit. Do you think Max knows?
I don't think he knows.
And that's Max.
You know what?
Fried.
I would think that you could blame Michael Kay on this. Because didn't he say that he thought it should have been a hit at the time?
He did. The official score is probably sitting right there.
Right, exactly. Or somebody in the scorer's life is watching a game on Yes and go, Michael Kay's killing you. You got to get this right. So to me, I blame Michael Kay. I don't blame anybody else other than Michael Kay. Because obviously those two, Susan and David, they weren't thinking that that was the case.
Well, I have to go back and listen to, obviously the highlight we have, they don't really reference if it was a hit or an error at the time.
Well, Michael Kay was.
But I know. He was right on it at the time. Yes. I'll have to find out what Dave and Susan thought as it happened. I'm not sure.
But I blame Michael Kay for it. But then again, they got a hit. Tampa Bay got a hit a couple innings later anyway.
Well, yeah. Well, when they changed it going into the eighth is when they actually got the base hit right after
it. So you think Max Fried basically said, nah, screw it now.
Well, here he was. When did you know what was going on?
After I came out. So, yeah. No, I had no idea. I looked up and saw two hits. So I just... It is what it is. I'm just happy we got the win.
And he was very good. 7 2/3 of a two-hit ball. He gets the win. And the Yankee offense again, you had 3 home runs hit. Grisham, Wells, and Bellinger. Bellinger drove in 2. And then you also had Aaron Judge looking like he might have hit a home run. They reviewed it. We saw replays that certainly made it look like it was a home run, but it was upheld. Here was Aaron. I don't usually play him, but here was Boone on the Judge foul ball.
Out of the audacity of the call standing is remarkable. So it's a home run. And yeah, that's didn't go our way, though.
Todd Frazier said one thing during the broadcast that really made a lot.
He said a lot
of things during the broadcast that I liked. But this one I really liked because he said, those trees are in fair play. Where the ball hit
over
into
the
trees, yeah. He goes, they're in fair play.
Yeah,
if you look at it.
I don't know how they went and looked at that and then said they didn't have conclusive evidence. I mean, it's right there. There's a white ball going into the trees
and
on the right side of the foul pole.
From the angle that we're watching now on CBS Sports Network, you really can't tell.
It's right here. This angle, right here, and you see the ball.
This angle,
yeah,
right
that
there.
Yeah. All right, so... But where Todd and Michael are sitting, you know, obviously they know the field. Todd's been there 1,000 times.
Yep.
And if he sits there and he says, I don't understand how they could call that a foul ball when those trees past the foul pole are in fair play, obviously outside the building.
Yeah, bad call.
Well, and that's what Judge said.
Yeah, it was a fair ball. But that's why we got replay. It's not umpires. It's tough in a situation like this where at a minor league park, you know, the foul poles aren't as high. So that's why you have replay. They have every angle. And that's a fair ball.
You know, he's a pro. He's just so much of a pro, so buttoned up. I'd be like, they screwed me.
They won the game.
Yeah.
Maybe he would have been a little bit more adamant if they had lost the game. But, yeah, that he hammered that ball.
Oh, yes.
That was insane. I mean, somebody, I forget who it was after the game, said that was the furthest ball he'd ever seen hit in his life.
I think it was high up into the trees.
It's crazy.
So,
and what a shame that it wasn't a home run. It should have been a home run.
It was not. And Aaron Boone then got ejected on the strike three call. That really wasn't strike three. Yankees 14-8 with the 4-0 win. They will be in Cleveland tonight on the Fan at 5:30 with the pregame coverage. Clark Schmidt, the start for the Bombers. As for the Mets.
2-2 pitch. Lindor runs from first and a liner towards the gap in left center. Ciani hustling over. Won't get it. It goes to the wall. It should score two. Taylor is in. Lindor digging for the plate. He will score standing without a relay throw. And on at second with a two-run double is Juan Soto. And the Mets have taken a 7-3 lead.
Juan Soto!
In the bottom of the eighth inning.
And they would wind up winning 7-4. Hi, I'm Howie Rose on Mets Odyssey Radio. Mets complete the four-game sweep of the Cardinals. Soto had he was 2-for-3 on the day with that two-run double, driven three, though, for the afternoon. Brandon Nimmo, the go-ahead RBI single
in
the seventh.
Did Gary say that this is the first time since 1986
that they swept the Cardinals in a four-game series?
That they swept the Cardinals in a four-game series. Wow.
You are correct.
Know what that means. Did they do that back in 86?
Well, that's what it means.
Yeah, it means they're going to go to the World Series. Mm. Right.
You're
we got a long way to go.
Win it. Not just go to the World Series.
Yeah.
Right. They've been there.
86. Yeah.
They've been there a couple times. The
last time they won
it
was 86.
So. Here was Soto on SNY, the approach in that at bat.
For me, I go to two strikes. Definitely just put the ball in play and see what happens. At the beginning, I was trying to go yard, but when he put me on the holes, I just tried to put the ball in play. He made a good pitch, and I make a better swing.
And he made a better swing. That's exactly right. Another home run for Francisco Lindor, who was 3-for-5, 3 runs scored. Lindor ended the game Friday night with a home run, started this game with one as well. We mentioned Nimmo with the go-ahead single. Here he was on that big sweep.
Yeah, it was fantastic. You know, the fans really showed up, and the weather started to warm up for us, so that's been great. The guys played amazing, and we had a great series out here. So great to take care of business.
And now they'll try and take care of business with the Phillies as they will start the series tonight. The Mets are 15-7. Tyler McGill, Aaron Nola in the opener on 880 Mets Odyssey Radio at 6:30. First pitch 7:10. More on the baseball coming up throughout the course of the morning. I know Luis Arraez is out of the hospital. He had a big collision on a drag bunt at first base. They took him off, but said to be doing okay. So we'll have some other highlights. I know also someone got clocked 24-2. Was it the Red Sox? Lost to the Reds?
Orioles.
It was the Orioles. I knew
Cincinnati
it was an AL East team.
Reds,
no, Baltimore lost to the Reds. That'd be cool, though, if Cincinnati lost to the Reds.
Yeah.
Split squad. It's like spring training.
I know.
I get it. I understand.
But let's go back to the sixth inning of this game, and let's hear Michael Kay was doing the game with Todd Frazier. Let's hear how they called it. And see if they knew immediately, well, this has to be an error. I mean, it's disgraceful if it's not. Let's take a look.
It'll be interesting to see how they score it, because even if he makes the play, it would have been a very tough, close play at first.
Yeah, Max got a late jump there. Look at him racing. That would have been very close. And the ball took a weird hop, too.
And it scored an E3.
Yeah. They know it's a hit.
They know it. They tried to say it.
Yes!
And they just waited. They were extending until they got the official, immediate official score.
But think about what Todd Frazier said. He even threw in, the hop was tricky. Yeah.
And what else did he throw in there? Exactly what I've been saying.
What?
Max got a late jump. He turned around so the ball got butchered right away.
So what does that mean? It means it's a hit.
It's still a hit.
It's still a hit. You're describing a hit.
Right. If Max Fried just stands on the mound, forgot, a la Gerrit Cole. If he just stands on the mound, right, and Paul Goldschmidt fields that thing cleanly, and there's no one to throw the ball to. Is that a hit or an error?
I mean, I guess it would be ruled a hit.
No, I guess. Definitively, it's a
baseball
hit.
It's a hit.
So, the Max Fried stopping, it's irrelevant. It doesn't mean anything.
Well, but hold on, how is that irrelevant? He stops because the ball is butchered.
It's a base hit. The fact that
he wasn't there.
The fact that Kay and Frazier are admitting it's a really, really close play, well, then that's a base hit. Because if it's a really, really close play, how are you calling it an error? They knew it in the moment. And then, it's an error. Let's move on. And that's exactly what happened on radio as well. Susan and Dave are like, it's an error. Okay. And they moved on.
Max Fried knew it in the moment it was an error. That's why he didn't bust his ass over it.
That's ridiculous.
That's what I'm telling you.
Do you think Max Fried really cared?
About which aspect of this?
Well, again, we saw an inning or two earlier when he ran. I think he did care. Yeah, and I think he just knew, okay, Goldie butchered it's an error. Well, and so he kind of, he wasn't beating him over there. He wasn't going to get hurt.
Max Fried said all the right things after the game. He didn't know that they changed the call till after the fact. And number two, he was more concerned about winning the game. It was still a relatively close game. So I think Max Fried, like anyone, would like a no-hitter, but I think his focus in the moment is, I got to win this game.
100%.
Now, in the moment, let's listen to the Rays announcers, because they don't have the emotion of a no-hitter being pitched. It's only the sixth inning. Take a listen to Dwayne Stats and whoever his partner is reacting to this ground ball to first base, and their reaction will tell you everything.
Okay, okay. So here's the thing. That would be the first hit of the game. Do you give that a hit? I mean, right here, if he fields that, Goldschmidt can't get to the bat.
Yeah.
He can't get back to first. He's going to have to flip it to Fried. I don't think Fried is beating Chandler to the bat.
Yeah, I don't think so either. They flash an error on the board. And here's the thing.
They get another hit, then that'll go back. They'll go change that.
Yeah, I would hope they would.
Now, think about
because
that.
Fried was not beating Chandler to the bag. Goldschmidt was never going to get back to the bag in time.
They nailed it.
And they also,
if they get another hit, they're going to go change it.
Well, by the way, they didn't. They did it before they got another hit. But listen to them continue on about this, and this is the difference. Like, when there's an official scoring decision that you know can be impactful, you're going to talk about it. It was accepted by the Yankee broadcast. Oh, that's an error. Okay, great. No hitter still intact. Let's move on. These guys are freaking out. They're pulling a Gary Cohen. Here's them continuing on this.
Simpson's going to be on base one way or the other.
Fried can't get there. That's a hit.
Yeah.
That's a hit because Goldschmidt isn't going to get there. Fried can't get there.
Yeah. I mean, that's a hit.
Yes. So as soon as the Rays get another hit, a legitimate hit, so to speak.
There's a shot toward left center field with some hang time, and it's going to be caught by Grisham. And back to second goes Simpson.
Yeah, they as soon as they get a hit, they're going to go back and change that. They have to, because that's a hit. I mean, Goldschmidt can't get him. Fried's not getting him. So if this ball is fielded cleanly, it's still a hit.
Yeah.
I mean, he beats it.
That's a hit. I'm fine.
How many times did they say, it's a hit?
It's a hit. It's a hit.
And by the way, that rationale.
It's a hit.
That
they bullied the official scorekeeper into changing it to a hit.
Well, that's the reason I'm playing it, because I think that I played a part of it. Because I think the official score is hearing the TV broadcast of the Rays basically assault them verbally. And how crazy is it? Well, we're keeping it as an error until they get a real hit. That's flawed, too.
Right.
What if they never get a real hit? Then you're going to have a Fugazi no-hitter? Here's one more clip of the Rays announcers freaking out in the moment.
Call it now. I fully understand a guy has gone five innings plus, not allowing a hit, but a hit's a hit.
Right.
And that's a hit.
Right. But baseball, we like to do things a little different. Well, but there's a little bit of a question, so we'll just kind of, we'll leave it there. And then the next ball that gets lined through the middle for
they're talking there, and even Wells, they're going, do you think that was a hit? And he said, yes, that was a hit.
Yeah.
Thinking you said yes.
We got one right there.
Even created a fake conversation between Austin Wells and Max Fried.
Yeah, we got away with one.
And they're sort of right. And that's why you guys should be happy they changed the call. You couldn't have had a no-hitter with that being an error. That would have been far and away worse than Santana. Not even on the same planet.
Evan, if Max Fried throws a no-hitter yesterday.
Yes.
And everybody sees that replay immediately with the butchering the ball. There are basically three people in America, Evan Roberts and Dwayne Stats, being two of them, that think it's a Fugazi no-hitter. That's it. Everybody saw him butchered immediately and Fried not take off immediately because of the butcher.
Now,
that is why it was an error.
They change the call two innings later. They do it in the bottom of the eighth inning. So as Max Fried is coming out to get six more outs before pitching a no-hitter, we all come back, whether it's on the radio right here on The Fan, whether it's on TV with Kay and Frazier, finding out the shocking news that they changed it.
Shocking.
And listen to these reactions from our wonderful Yankee broadcasters. Let's start with our guys on the radio, the great Dave Sims and the great Susan Waldman.
Well, we've got a new development here, and what we thought was a no-hitter is not a no-hitter.
How do you change an error call to a hit three innings later? I don't understand it. Goldschmidt's error is now a hit, so there's one hit. Do you think Max knows?
I don't think he knows. Here's the first pitch to Jake Mangum. Up high, ball one. Oh, come on. A little chicanery here or what?
No, chicanery! This is what got him on the camera. The scorer said it was...
Next pitch, outside.
Said it was, quote, very apparent the runner would have beaten any throw to the base. But it took him 3 innings to do that?
That play happened back in the 6th, and here we are in the 8th. Wow, 2-0.
Yeah, so it's 2 innings, not 3 innings. And Susan should know, and I know she does, this actually happens a lot. I could tell you firsthand, it pisses me off because I got to change my scorecard. They change scoring decisions all the time. Mm-hmm. So
the whole argument is then.
I'm sorry, what?
The whole argument is you want to use this as a chance to prove why everybody should be scoring games like you.
Because no.
Because I live it. Look,
my argument is you guys are babies. That's my argument. That this happens all the time. It was a clear base hit. Aaron Boone admitted it after the game. Somehow, something was robbed from you. Mm. A Judge home run was robbed from you. I am with you. I plant the flag with you. But changing a scoring decision, it happens all the time. And to freak out over one they got right is embarrassing.
Because right. It's not 100% right. And the idea of you calling anybody babies, I'm trying not to bring this up. Evan, you basically need a box of Kleenex every time we mention the ball hitting the chalk and Johan's no-hitter.
Because there's
a difference.
You're the
wrong messenger for this. There's not a difference.
It's completely different.
That was actually cleanly a hit. You can't even prove that this was a hit.
An official scoring decision and an umpire or referee decision is completely different.
You're right.
It's a tweener. It's such a tweener thing. Because Goldschmidt does butcher it. I mean, it hits the heel of his... I was just rewatching it. It hits the heel of his glove. So he's never making the play cleanly. So and for Goldschmidt, it's an error. But even if he fields it cleanly, and this is where I think the argument is for it to be an error, is even if he fields it cleanly, we have no idea. Like, we just don't know.
That's why it's a hit.
You're just assuming that Freed's going to get beat out. Now, I think Freed is getting beat out.
Right.
All right, so that's neither here nor there, but... You're making an assumption among what happens if he fielded it.
Well, that's what you have to do as an official score. And I'll tell you the definitive proof that I am consistent on the Santana and now Freed issue. And you're a little bit off base, with all due respect. I don't bitch about incorrect calls. You do. I'm not sitting here whining about every missed call in Major League Baseball history. You guys do by bringing up what happened in the Santana game. Who bitches about scoring changes ever? Other than me to myself, because I got to whip out whiteout. The answer is nobody. You have never, ever, Sean, complained about an official scoring decision until it affected your sweet little no-hitter on a Sunday afternoon. Evan, so I am consistent about this.
Silly.
I don't bitch about Johan's bad call or the bad call in the Johan game. Mm-hmm. I don't bitch about official scoring decisions unless it's to myself. You guys are the ones doing it. I have been remarkably consistent about it. So don't rope me and Santana into this when it has nothing to do with it.
You're asking people to care about something nobody would care about unless you had a bet on a guy getting a hit or involved in a no-hitter. Yeah, of course. In the third inning of a game where teams each have 3 hits, am I looking up the score and go, oh, they changed it to a hit, and does it matter as much to me? No. But why would it unless you were scoring it?
That's why, that's why I'm – you know who I blame? I'll say it again, and I love these people dearly. I blame Susan and Kay in this because they should know better. Let's hear Michael Kay scream and yell about this, too. Let's hear him, because he knows. He knows full well. He's a former writer. He knows that scoring changes are changed all the time. So let's hear Michael Kay crying.
Well, you see the line, and no, you didn't miss a batter. I am absolutely flabbergasted, ladies and gentlemen. The official scorer here at Steinbrenner Field, a man by the name of Bill Matthews, has changed the Simpson E3 into a hit while the Yankees are in the dugout. Just... unfathomable. Either you call it when it happens, you don't wait 3 innings to go by. It's just unbelievable. And there is Bill Matthews, and he's going to have a lot of questions thrown at him, and he's going to have to give some pretty good answers, because I can't believe that this just happened.
How do you not believe it, bro? Come on, Mike. You know better than that. You know they change calls all the time. And it's not 3 innings, it's 2 innings. You and Susan have the math wrong. It's 2 innings. So... and let's dox him while we're at it. What's his address? What's his phone number? Let's call him up and harass him. Why? Because he got something right that the manager, even after the game, said was right? You guys are hot stuff. I'll tell you, you really are. Unbelievable crying about this. Okay. Defend yourself now.
Because you got to realize, too.
I'm on fire.
You're going to kill Mike K kill Michael Kay for this, kill Susan for this. Remember, we also got this information the half inning after the whole Judge home run debacle, too. So while those might be separate instances, we're talking about a scenario where it was, what the hell is going on in this Mickey Mouse ballpark where our single A team plays that this keeps happening? How could this be a problem? How could the official scorer screw this up and not see it for two innings, tease everybody that was a no-hitter, leave it open-ended, and how could you screw up the Judge homer? That's why the broadcasters are going, what the hell's going on? Because those two things, you could act like they were parallel separate. When you're watching the game, all of those emotions are happening in the same 20-minute period.
But let's be rational now. It's a day later. They have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah. It's funny because they're getting now some hate, the Yankees broadcast, because they showed Bill Matthews on camera.
They doxed him.
Exactly. And so now...
I'm being sarcastic. They didn't really dox him.
They didn't, but they kind of did. Now, Yankee fans have an idea of how to find him on social media. And so they're getting criticized for this. But apparently, this has happened before with Bill Matthews. When the Rays hosted the Seattle Mariners in 2011, it's a long time ago, 14 years ago, Felix Hernandez had given up just one hit over eight innings. That lone hit was a controversial decision by Matthews.
Oh, I remember that.
Which gave B.J. Upton a single on the play that easily could have been an error.
So, interesting.
So he's anti-no-hitter.
I mean, if it's going to be a no-hitter, he just wants it perfect, apparently.
I can't stand it. It's too many people getting inserting themselves where
they
don't
belong.
It's
amazing. This is a baseball season with 162 games. And this little thing is going to last for I don't know how long. People are going to talk about this forever.
The Yankees, who lose 3-2 to Cleveland last night, they lose the series. They have now lost 3 out of 4 after winning 7 of 8. They're still 7 of their last 10, so I'm not overly upset about it or concerned. It's a frustrating outing, no doubt. The further you get away from it, the more you think that, you know, Will Warren pitching the way he pitched is probably the most important thing coming out of that game. But the offense, and there has to be a question, there has to be a talking point now about Anthony Volpe. I think that's going to be the next big conversation with the Yankees. I know Bellinger's been awful. And right now, if he continues like this, he's going to opt into his contract and they're going to be forced to pay him next year as well. But Bellinger has a track record, right? I understand that he's had the years in between where he was awful at the tail end of his Dodgers career. But even last year with the Cubs, it was underwhelming, but it was far better than what he's providing now. And 2 years ago, he was great, former MVP. Bellinger, it's early. He had a little bit of a back issue. It's been cold. Yeah, I'm not happy with him, and I'm not trying to make too many excuses, but to me, I'm still, you know, I think there's more belief in Bellinger turning it around. Jazz is an issue right now as well. Wells, really the entire lineup this side of Judge, who's hitting 411 and is the best hitter on the planet. Goldschmidt, who's been great at getting on base and hitting singles, hasn't shown much power, but he's hitting about 370. And obviously Ben Rice, who led off this game with a first pitch home run, he's been a force and a really positive angle. Even Dominguez has been really good left-handed. He's terrible right-handed. And Trent Grisham, obviously, has been very good, who's on paternity and not here for this series. But Anthony Volpe, a couple things with this game and Anthony Volpe. One, very much like the previous years of his career, more specifically last year, we saw a good start to the season. It wasn't an excellent start. It was a powerful start. He had 4 home runs in his first 6 games or something crazy. And there are some metrics that point to him improving. They talked about it on the broadcast. His chase rate is down. His walks are up. That kind of thing. But you watch the at-bats. And Anthony Volpe continues to give you bad at-bats. And his at-bat in the 8th. With runners at first and second after Jazz, reached because of a time clock violation. He swung at a slider that's not anywhere near the plate. I mean, he has just looked off and really bad. And Anthony Volpe now, and I said this at the start of the year, and I'll say it again now. If Anthony Volpe does not have the breakout year we were all hoping, if Anthony Volpe doesn't show major progression offensively, and right now I don't care what some of the underlying numbers are or some of the, you know, analytical numbers about chase rate and bat speed and whatever else, he's hitting under 200. And other than maybe a double down the line against Kansas City, I can't think of a big time hit he's had since the first week of the season. And he has had miserable at bats. He's late on fastballs. He's swinging at breaking balls out of the zone. And if Anthony Volpe does not have the offensive season that the Yankees were expecting, if we are not talking about a 730 to 750 bare minimum OPS to go along with his brilliant defense, and I think, you know, anybody getting on him for that final play of the inning to lead to the third run, that's an impossible play. That's that. I mean, I saw a bunch of clips of, you know, Volpe boots the ball and the run score, you know, lead run comes into play. He didn't boot the ball. That was an impossible short hop line drive. That was a very difficult play. Overall, he's played brilliantly defensively. I mean, I think he's made a couple of errors, but I mean, in this game alone, he made two or three great plays. But I thought in Tampa Bay, he played brilliant defense. He is, and his arm strength is not an issue. He is a Gold Glove caliber defensive shortstop. I don't think there's any doubt, and there's value to that. So he doesn't have to be, although he was along the lines of Gunnar Henderson and some of those guys when it came to prospects. He was right there. I mean, I think Gunnar Henderson was more highly thought of, and Bobby Witt Jr. was more highly thought of, but Bobby Witt Jr. was like the second prospect in baseball, and Anthony Volpe was the sixth. Like, Anthony Volpe was in the conversation about being close to being as good as Bobby Witt Jr., and they are worlds apart. But having said that, I don't need him to be Bobby Witt Jr. I don't need him to be Gunnar Henderson. I just need him to be an average, everyday major league hitter to go along with the brilliant defense, because there's value in that at the shortstop position. But if he can't provide that, and he can't be that guy, again, if we are looking at a sub-700 OPS for his third season, you've got George Lombard, who's killing it in the minor leagues. I think he's probably more than just 1 year away at 19 years old. But he then becomes the future shortstop of this franchise. And next year, whether you talk about free agency or whatever else, Anthony Volpe should not be guaranteed a spot next year. Like, Anthony Volpe does not get to be guaranteed the starting shortstop of the New York Yankees next year, no matter how he performs offensively anymore. He got 3 years of it. Now, he earned his spot as the starting shortstop with that spring training. I still believe that. The Yankees made a decision to make that a competition, and he won it fair and square, and he's played good enough defense, and he was the starting shortstop for an American League championship team. But we need far better offensively. And then I'm going to get on Aaron Boone here too. As much as I downplay and get a, and anytime, you know, guys mention bunts and this or that, I talked about this a little bit yesterday when I was talking about Jazz. But I want the bottom of that order to be using its skill set. And I forget which inning it was, but it's first and second, nobody out, and Anthony Volpe coming up. That is a time where maybe you can bunt. I don't love the bunt. I think the people who cry bunt, small ball, overdo it. But they've got speed and athleticism, and Will Warren was pitching a good game, and you have your bullpen well rested. You want to tack on a couple of runs there. And as bad as the Yankees have been in situational hitting, still with a runner on third, and, you know, Jason Dominguez, who's got swing and miss in his game, is up next. And you don't love putting the inning on Jason Dominguez there necessarily. I understand why Boone's doing it. I'm not screaming about it necessarily or saying, Boone, what, you're an idiot for not bunting Anthony Volpe. It's not like he's the nine hitter bunting back to the top of the order. He's bunting to 8-9. I don't love that. And I'm not ready to I don't want to put the inning necessarily just on Jason Dominguez coming through, but like, that's the kind of stuff we haven't seen any of that. So much talk going into the year about the athleticism of the bottom of the lineup and their ability to steal bases and run. Now, part of it is they're hitting under 200, so they're not getting on base. Even Jazz has 7 home runs, but he's not getting on base a lot. But when you have opportunities like that, I think it's best to try and use, like, and if Volpe's not, and especially if he's going through a slump, and if he's this streaky, where he shows you a week or two of being an excellent player and then 3 or 4 weeks of being a terrible player, like, when he's going bad, utilize his speed, utilize the athleticism. They're doing double steals. Cleveland did a double steal that cost the Yankees the game. put pressure on the team a little bit here or there. That's the kind of spot with Anthony Volpe. Use his speed, lay a bunt down, move the runners over. I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of that because I think that's how the roster is built. They're not an overly powerful team. And I think that's the time where you can start to use stuff like that. Again, it's not a no-brainer. I'm not screaming Boone's an idiot. But I think they need to start viewing Anthony Volpe in that way and start using different. And when he gets on base, start stealing more. I want to see more athleticism. They have it. We see them. Like, this team, as frustrated as you can be with it, although, again, they're winning a lot. Right? They still have the lead in the division. They're a half game worse than the best record in the American League, which is obviously down this year, as it was last year. But they just took, you know, they just won 7 of 8 against Tampa and Kansas City. Like, they had this game, you know, they were playing well enough to win this game, and a weird inning cost them the game. But, like, I'm not overly concerned about the Yankees necessarily. But as many deficiencies as they have, namely the other offensive players around Aaron Judge, at least how they've gotten off to their starts here in April, like, I still look at this team and I see things that we haven't seen from Yankee teams before. Like, I still look at this Yankee team and see a team with a lot of athleticism and a lot of youth and great defensively. Like, we didn't talk much about this because I was on vacation. That series in Tampa, whether it's Grisham, whether it's Volpe, we saw Judge make a great play in right field last night, and he's finally in the position he should be in, where he's a Gold Glove caliber right fielder. Like, I think Volpe made a bunch of really good plays in this game. Jazz makes a lazy throw, but he made a good pick. Like, he's got ability. Like, defensively, they're far better than they were last year. Far better. And even when the bottom of the lineup isn't coming through, when they do get on base, they have the ability to run. We've seen first to third more. We've seen, you know, the ability to do more things like that. The team is built that way. And I think they need to use him more that way, because right now he is in a funk and he looks lost. And we see it far too much. And this is supposed to be Anthony Volpe's breakout year. But, I mean, we saw what George Lombard did in spring training. He's killing it in single A right now. He's only 19 years old, so I don't even think it's a next year proposition necessarily. But we are the next future shortstop of the New York Yankees is in the minor leagues right now. We know who he is. He's going to skyrocket in the MLB prospect rankings. I've talked to a couple people. I read a bunch of things. A lot of scouts throughout baseball think he is going to be a superstar. It's not just the Yankees. He is going to start to become. He's already their best prospect. He's surpassed Jones. He's surpassed Spencer Jones, who's also doing well in Double A right now. But, like, that's the next future shortstop of the New York Yankees. Unless Anthony Volpe turns it around. And you know what? If I know Lombard's on the way and Volpe hasn't turned it around, I can go get a shortstop gap stop. I can get an older veteran shortstop who can hit and play the position for a year or two until I have Lombard come up. I don't need Anthony Volpe and his 690 OPS. I like the kid. I do. He played well in the playoffs last year, and I was expecting a big season. And it's April 23rd. It doesn't mean he can't turn it around or have a very good season. But we have to see it this year, or the idea that Anthony Volpe is just the starting shortstop for the New York Yankees and shut up about it, those days are over. I'm not dismissing how bad Devin Williams has been. Devin Williams has been atrocious. I'm not even going to bring up the idea that it was soft contact, which it was. He still walked the 8 hitter. Unacceptable. But yes, was it a slow grounder to short? Yes. Was it a little bloop single that beat him? Yes. Did he give up some soft contact that still gave up the 4 runs? Absolutely. But that doesn't mean he wasn't awful. He has been awful. But we are so quick to dismiss. He is not just some guy that the Yankees picked up and he's awful. So let's move him out of the closer's role. This is one of the premier relievers in the game. And don't tell me, like, so many, like, people want to hit me up on Twitter, and I know that's not everyone, but the idea that it doesn't matter what he did in Milwaukee in the National League Central, or that, you know, Pete Alonso has broken him, like, It's been 3 weeks. Do you want to go through how many Yankees came here and had a miserable first 3 weeks of their Yankee tenure? Because the list is long and filled with names of people you love, Yankee fans. Like, I'm not moving. The last thing I want to do right now is take him and make an example of him and move him out, because it's not the pressure. This is guy. He was just rated the best reliever in all of baseball by Major League, by the MLB Network. I'm not saying that means he absolutely is, but he's in the conversation. He has been dominant for years, years. He is going to be a major part of the success of this team. He is going to be a critical member of this team, and obviously the bullpen. He has been one of, if not the best reliever in baseball for 4 years. I'm sorry, call me crazy. I do not put the last 3 weeks above the last 4 years. It's been a struggle. It's got to change. He admitted in the postgame that he's probably throwing too much of the changeup. I think he's got to mix in the fastball more. He's throwing the fastball 95, 96. It plays. He will be fine. He's off to a miserable start. And whether it's the beard, whether it's the new team, whether it's just some struggles, whether it's the cold, having a baby, the start of being a Yankee, whatever the reason is, there is no reason to push the panic button, even though Saturday was extremely frustrating and sucked. And anytime you blow a 4-run lead, and they talked about it, it's the like one of three times it's happened since 1987 or something crazy. Like, yeah, it's very rare you lose a game up 4 runs in the ninth. And it sucked when they were in the middle of a winning streak. Right now, you'd be talking about a long winning streak, a 7-game winning streak, sweeping the Royals and the Rays on the road, as opposed to winning 3 out of 4, which is still pretty damn good, but wouldn't be as, we'd be much more pleased with the New York Yankees right now riding a 7-game winning streak. And it's a miserable loss, and he's been awful. But I am not, he is the closer of the New York Yankees. They traded for him. He has been one of the best relievers in all of baseball. That's, it doesn't change 3 weeks in. We're not even out of April, and you want to take him out of the closer role? Again, this isn't even Clay Holmes. This is Emmanuel Class A. If they traded for Class A and he got off the three bad weeks, would you want him out of the closer's role? Because that's who Devin Williams is. That's who he's been. We got to slow down. Slow down. I'm frustrated. We're all frustrated. He's got to be better. And if it continues much longer, I'm not saying it can go on for half the year. If it goes on much longer, yeah, you start using him in some different situations, get his confidence built up. It's not crazy, but right now, it's not even April. This is really the only game where he's been bad that they lost. I don't include the extra inning game where he gave up one base hit and lost the game. Right. Devin Williams has a track record of being not just a good, but an excellent closer in this game, in this league. Excellent. 3 weeks doesn't change that.